Today's daf is Ksuvus daf Nun Hey. We just started the fifth parak of Maseches Ksuvus. Yesterday we were holding on the bottom of daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis at the two dots. The Gemara is going to give first a list of various halachos that we consider, for which we consider the Tosefes Ksuba to be the same as the Iker Ksuba, because the Mishnah had spoken about being Mosif, that even though that was the first line of the Mishnah, that even though a Besula has to get Masayim and an Almana has to get Mana, nevertheless Imratza Lahosef Afilu Meya Mana Yosef, person can add whatever he wants into the ksuba. So we're going to have 14 different halachos for which we treat the Tosefes and the Iker ksuba the same. And then on Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to have four different machlokos between the B'nai Pumbedisa and the B'nai Masa Mechasya when it comes to collecting the ksuba. There's going to be four different machlokos on that issue. And then on Amud Beis, there's going to be machlokos Rav and Shmuel, if a Shchiv Meira, if someone who's dying, writes a Lashon Kinyan in a shtar, whether that's endowed with the koach of both Matnas Bari and Matnas Shchimra, or we just don't know what to do, because the Shchimra doesn't need to write a Lashon Kinyan, and Shchimra doesn't have to do a Kinyan. His Dvarvar Ksuv Nekum Surin Dami, just when he says words, that affects a Kinyan. So why is he writing a Lashon Kinyan? We're going to have Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, on a base to try to figure out what to do with such a Lashon of a Shchimra. Let's begin now, Nun Dalet Amud Beis, toward the bottom of the page, at the two dots. So we had mentioned in the Mishnah that Imratza Lahosif, that if a person wants to add on to the Iker Ksuba, Afilu Me'amana, as much as he wants to add on, he's allowed to be Mosif. So it says the Gemara, Ratza Lichtov La Lokatani. He doesn't say if he wants to write in a new clause called the Tosefes Ksuba. It doesn't say that. Ella Ratza Lahosif. It says that he wants to add to the Iker Ksuba a Tosefes Ksuba. Misayel El Rabbi Aibo, Dam Rabbi Anai, Am Rabbi Anai, Dam Rabbi Aibo, Am Rabbi Anai. This is a riot, Rabbi Aibo Amar Rabbi Yanai, because Rabbi Aibo Amar Rabbi Yanai says Tanai Ksuba Ki Ksuba Dami, that a Tanai Ksuba has the same status of a Ksuba, and apparently the Tosefes Ksuba as a Tanai Ksuba has the same status as a Ksuba. Rashi writes Tanai Ksuba is what we refer to any Tosefes that the husband is Masna to be Mosif into the Ksuba, that the husband adds into the Ksuba, that he determines to add into the Ksuba, is called the Tosefes, and the same would be true therefore of the Mizonos and all the other things that a husband is chayiv in because of a Tanai Beis Din, even though they're not written in the Ksuba, they all have a status of a Tanai Ksuba. However, a lot of the Rishonim ask on Rashi, the Tosa Rashi, Tum Kuvat says, the Ritva, they all ask from the fact that we had a Gemara a couple of days ago where Rava said that if a woman is Mecheles a Ksuba to her husband, she still gets Mizonos, and someone who's Mecheres Ksuba still gets Ksubas Ben Indichrin. But a Tanai Ksuba, if the din of a Tanai Ksuba that if she's Mochel, she's mocher the ksuba, the Tanai ksuba is also mechula and mechura. The Tanai ksuba we're about to say, the Tosefes ksuba has the same status as the ksuba for all of these halachas. So if you're going to understand that Tanai ksuba ksuba dami doesn't just refer to the Tosefes over here, but it means all the Tanai ksuba, the mizonos and the ksubas min dichrin, so all the Tanai bezdin except for the Tosefes should also in addition to the Tosefes should all be subject to the same laws of the Tosefes. So that's the kasha that the Rishonim ask on Rashi. They also point out that that the Gemara is going to say later on in today's daf that Ksubas Min Indichrin is listed as one of the things that's kiksuba, and what the Gemara means is that we collect that the children also collect the Iker and the Tosefes. So you see, Ksubas Min Indichrin, we don't say Tanai Ksuba kiksuba like we say about the other Tanai Bezin. So it sounds a little bit strange that Rashi assumes that all of this is included within the Tanai Ksuba. Shidim Gvetzes works on Shitas Rashi, tries to explain Shitas Rashi, but the Gemara is going to say this idea, at least that the Tosefes, that everyone accepts, that the Gemara is at least saying that the Tosefes Ksuba has the same din as Ksuba, has many, many Nafkaminas. And the Gemara gives a whole list of Nafkaminas. Gives a list, I think it's 14 different Nafkaminas for which we consider the Tosefes to be the same status as the Ksuba. Now, if the Gemara is going to give a list of 14 Nafkaminas, it begs the question, are these all of the nafkaminas, are we saying that it's dafka for these halachos that we consider the Tosefes like the Ksuba, but for other halachos maybe we would not consider the Tosefes like the Ksuba? Or is the Gemara just saying, no, we always consider the Tosefes like the Ksuba, look, we even have these 14, and obviously in any other imaginable nafkamina you can come up with, we would also consider the Tosefes like the Ksuba. So that is Machlokas Rishonim. Rabbeinu Chananel and the Rosh and the Ritva, the Ran quotes from this Rabbeinu Chananel as well, that we all say say that the din of Tanai Ksuba Kiksuba is dafka for the halachos that we're about to mention, but not for any other dinim. If you can come up with any other din that relates to Ksuba, we would not say that the Tosefes has the same din as the Ksuba. And the greatest raya they have is the fact that the Gemara enumerates and lists 14 different nafkaminas. Why in the world would the Gemara do that? If the halacha were just across the board, that whatever halacha you're going to apply to the ksuba applies to the Tosefes ksuba. The fact that it lists off all of these nafkaminas that we're about to read tells you that it must be that it's only about this. Furthermore, they prove from the fact that we find that there are certain dinim where the Tosefes is not exactly the same as the Ikr Ksuba. We're going to find the halacha much later on in the Masechta, where Nashim Shamr and Daf Kovalev, Nashim Shamr Chachamim, Ein Len Ksuba, that the women that the Chum say do not get a Ksuba, Mema Enes, Vechavrosah, Ein Len Mona Messiah, Mavel Tosefes Yeshlein. That there are some women that won't get their Ikr Ksuba, they lose the right to their Ikr Ksuba, but they still get the Tosefes Ksuba. So you see that we can split apart the two different parts of the ksuba, the ikur ksuba from the Tosefes ksuba, and Yevamos Daf Pehei. The Gemara says that an almanul kohen gadol has a ksuba, shnios midivrei sofrim, ein lem ksuba, v'yesh len Tosefes. Shnios midivrei sofrim, people who are aser midirabanan, as arayos midirabanan, there's no ikur ksuba, but there is a Tosefes ksuba. So again, you see that there are people that we could divide the Tosefes from the ikur. Homer Pesach Pesuach Matzasi is nemelna. The Rambam writes in the 11th paragraph of Hilchos Yishus, if a man says Pesach Pesuch Matzasi, we learned earlier in this Masechta, he can make his wife lose the Ksuba, says the Rambam, but he can't make her lose the Tosefes Ksuba. That part he added in on his own, that part he's still going to have to pay. So you see, from all of these places, that it's not always the same. The din of the Tosefes and the din of the Iker is not 100% equal across the board. So that is the Shita of a significant number of Rishonim. However, in Yevamos Daf Samachayim Beis, Tosus quotes from Rabbi Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rosh quotes this Rabbeinu Tam as well, that holds that no, it's regarding every din that Tanai Ksuba is considered Kiksuba, and Tosos tries to work through all of the riots, tries to work through all of the cases in Shas where it seems otherwise, where it seems that we split up the Tanai Ksuba from the Ikr Ksuba. So what are these nafkaminas? We keep alluding to these 14 nafkaminas. So first nafkamina, limocheres. If a woman is mocheres her ksuba, if she sells her ksuba, so the Tosefes is assumed to be included in the sale as well. Nafkamina number two, limocheles. She's mochel her ksuba. We assume that she's being mochel the Tosefes as well. Now that first nafkamina that Afla points out seems like a difficult nafkamina. I mean, we're saying that if she sells her ksuba and we're not sure is the Tosefes included or not, so we should know that the Tosefes is definitely included because it has a din of the Ikr Ksuba. Ask Safla, why don't you just check the purchase price? See what the price was, what someone was willing to pay for, and see if it makes sense. If a guy writes a ksuba of Masayim and then he's Mosef Meyamana, so look what someone was willing to pay for it. If a guy was willing to pay a little less than Masayim, you know, if he's taking the risk, he's willing to pay 100 or something like that, then you know that it was only the Masayim. If he's willing to pay more than Masayim for the ksuba, then obviously he wasn't just paying for the possibility of getting Masayim. Obviously he was paying for the Tosefes as well. So it's a very strong cash that Afla suggests that it must be that we're talking in the case where no one refers to the Tosefes as separate from the Ikr Ksuba, and in such a case there's no din of Hadam Modin, that it's always considered to be one entity, and if everyone always considers it to be one entity, then there would be no such din of Hadam Modin of just looking at the money. But again, it's still the kasha might be better than the teretz, because what if the money really doesn't make it? He's paying more than he could potentially ever get from the ksuba. It's a very, very strong kasha. So those are the first two machlokot, two nafkaminas. Third nafkamina, limoredes. If a woman is Moredes, the Gemara is going to say later on, if a woman is Moredes al Baila, she rebels against her husband, so we are Poseach la Miksubasa. We start deducting off of the Ksuba X amount of money. Now, how much can we keep on deducting? So the Gemara says, Ad Keneged Ksubasa. So what does it mean, Ad Keneged Ksubasa? We can keep deducting till we hit the full value of her Ksuba. But of which part? Only the Man of Messiah, or even the Tosefes? So we're saying, even the Tosefes. Tosefes Ksuba has the same din as Ksuba. Ulipogemes, or if a woman, we're going to have on Daf Pei Zayin, Rashi points out, a woman is pogemes ksubasa, which means she says, his kabalti, I already received part of the ksuba, so then she can only get paid from the rest of the ksuba with a shvua. So even if she's just pogemis from the tosefes ksuba, she can only get paid the rest of the ksuba with a shvua. Ulitova'as, litova'as, if a woman is toveir ksuba, the Chum say that someone's toveir ksuba in Beis Din, at that point loses her mazonos. So what if she was only tova'as, the tosefes ksuba? She wasn't tova'as, the ikr ksuba, that too, she would lose the mazonos. Before we go on, pogemes, Rashi says that the chiddush of pogemes is that if the woman is pogem in the tosefes ksuba, where she says she was already mekabel dinar for payment of the tosefes, that's also called pogemes ksubasa, and therefore she would still need to take a shvua, and because of the din of tosefes is like the din of ikr. But a lot of the rishonim are unhappy with that explanation of Rashi. The Tos Yishonim and Tos and the Rosh and the Ran, a lot of the Rishonim raised the issue that this din of is true by every Shtarchov, even without the din of Tanai Ksuba Kiksuba, you'd be Chayiv Shvua. The din is a Pogim Shtaro Lo Yipara El B'Shvua. It's a din of Mesechus Shvus and Daf Mem Dalet. It comes later up in Mesechus Ksuvus and Daf Pei Zayin. So what's the Chiddush by Pogemas that it's Daf Kedin that Tosefus Ksuba is like Ksuba? It's by every Chov. When you're Pogim in any Chov, by automatically, you're in the front El B'Shvua. You always have to take a Shvua. So that's why a group of the Rishonim don't want to say like Rashi. They say Pagma Ksubasa means that she says that she was paid B'Miktsas, and just like she doesn't collect the Ksuba El B'Shvua, she also can't collect the Tosefes with the Shvua. Meaning she's saying she got paid part of the Ikr Ksuba. She was paid part of the Ikr Ksuba B'Miktsas, and the Chiddush is that therefore means she can't even collect the Tosefes, which one might have viewed as a separate chov. It's not the same chov. Avada, the chov that she wants to collect, that she was actually pogemes in, the chov that she actually says she was mekabel part of, that for sure, that's a din in every shtar chov, that you can only collect with the shvua once you pogem that chov. The chiddush is she was pogem in the ikr, she can only collect the tosefes with the shvua, that we view those as two as the same chov and not as two totally separate chovos. So the Gemara goes on. Now what's the other nafkamina? So we said lo veres al das, and if a woman is overis al das, that she violates das Moshe, so the chachad halach is she's teisish lo b'ksuba. We assume that if a woman is considered to be responsible for the failure of the marriage, she's overis al das Moshe, and she makes it impossible to remain married to her, so then she loses the rights to her ksuba. So one might have thought, okay, she'll lose the mana masayim, but she doesn't lose the tosefes. No, she loses the tosefes as well. L'shevach. What's the shevach? The halach is, the Rashi quotes from Bechoros, that a Bechor does not take Pishnayim b'shevach, that the Nechasim or Meshabach after the father dies. I mean, the halach is a Bechor gets double Yerusha from all the other brothers. What if the father dies and then the properties that the father owned go up in value? There's extra shevach in the property. So the Bechor doesn't get Pishnayim of that. Neither does a woman collect Uksuba in the shevach. And the Tosafos also, she can't collect from the Shevach Nechasim after her husband dies. She can only get from the original value of the Nechasim when her husband dies. Also, L'Shvua, when it comes to a Shvua, anything that, whenever there would be a halacha that you have to swear about a Ksuba, like a case of Nefra'as Shalobafanav, or Eidach and Me'ida Shipru'a, one aid testifies that it was paid, where if she wants to get paid more, she needs to take a Shvua, so that would apply equally to the Tosefes and to the Iker. Ula Shvius, and the halach of Shmita, that Shmita is not Meshamet a Ksuba like it is Meshamet other Shtaros, so unless you're Zakvan of the Milva, unless you assume that it was already, unless some of it was already paid and they take the rest as a loan. So that why is Shmita not Meshamet a Ksuba? It would be impossible if Shmita was Meshamet a Ksuba. The halach of Shmita, then every couple that's married for more than 7 years, there would be no Ksuba and they'd be asked to live together anymore because you're not allowed to be, you're not allowed to stay with your wife below Ksuba. So Shmita is not Meshamid Ksuba. But if you pay part of it back, and then the rest is Zakva Lav B'Milva, you turn the rest into a loan, then Shmita will be Meshamid. So those halachos apply both to the Ikr Ksuba and to the Tosefes Ksuba. It's not just for one or the other. Those halachos apply equally to both the Ikr and the Tosefes. Ulekosev kol nechasav lebanav. And similarly, if someone writes Kol Nechas of Lubanov and he says, I'm giving all of my possessions to my children except a certain tiny piece of land that I'm giving to my wife. So at that point, the woman loses her ksuba. So not only because we assume that her ksuba is now limited to that tiny piece of land that he has designated for his wife. So the same is true in the Tosefes ksuba. She can only get that, she doesn't get any Tosefes ksuba either, except for that tiny piece of land. Ligvos mina karka, and to collect from karka umina ziburis, that ksuba is collected, can only be collected from karka. A woman cannot collect her ksuba from metaltalin, and when she does collect from karka, the ksuba sisha is collected from the ziburis. I lost count what number we're up to, but it's a lot. A lot enough gaminas already that Tosefes ksuba has a din of ksuba. The kolzman she be beis avia, and so long that she's in beis avia, there's a halacha that as long as a woman after her husband dies remains in her husband's house, that as long as she remains in almana, yosheves be beis baila, she could collect her ksuba whenever. But let's say she moves back to her father's house, so there's an interesting halacha that she only has up until 25 years to collect her ksuba. If once she's moved back to her parents' house, to her father's house, then if she and she never asks for a ksuba for 25 years, then we assume that after 25 years she's mochel the ksuba. So that mechila is not only assumed to go on the ksuba itself, it's assumed to go on the Tosefes ksuba as well. And finally, the ksuba's been indichrin. Just like the male children get the nedunya of that the father had given to their mother, and the manam asayim they can collect from their mother, they also get to collect the Tosefes. So that's all included in the ksuba's been indichrin. The Tosefes is included just like the manam asayim are included in the ksuba's been indichrin. So those are all of the Gemara's nafkaminas to say that Tosefes is the same din of a ksuba. So now the Gemara is going to go on to tell us, once we're on the topic of collecting money for a ksuba and collecting from land, collecting, we spoke about how she can only collect from land and she can't collect from metaltalin. So now we're going to mention four different machlokos between the B'nai Pumbedisa and the B'nai Masa Mechasya with regard to collecting ksuba money. So itmar, machlokos number one. Ksubas min indichrin. We just mentioned ksubas min indichrin. That was our last nafkamina. Pumbedisa amri lo tarfa mi mishabdi. The B'nai Pumbedisa said you cannot collect that from nechasim mishabadim. If the land had already been sold to somebody else, they can't go and collect that land from somebody else. Because yartun tnan, that we view the b'nai indichrin to be like yorshim. And the halacha is that yorshim are not allowed to collect from nechasim mishabadim. They can only collect from nechasim b'nai charin. B'nai Masa Mechasya Amri, but the B'nai Masa Mechasya disagree. They say, Tarfa Mimshabdi, that they can collect from the Chasim Mishabadim. Yasvun Tanan. We don't use the Lashon of Yerusha, rather we use the Lashon of a Balchov. And the halach is that a Balchov is allowed to be Tarif Milukuchos. A Balchov could collect from the Chasim Mishabadim. They could collect from people who have already purchased the land that was Mishubad to them. V'hilchasa lo Tarfa Mimshabdi, Yartun Tanan. And we paskin that they cannot be Tarif Mishabadim. It cannot collect from Nechasim Shabadim. It's Yartun Tanan. We view it like a Yerusha. That is Machlokas number one. Machlokas number two. Metaltali v'isnu be'einayhu below Shavua. If you have metaltalin that were designated to pay, that a guy was miyachid, certain metaltalin, certain movable objects, that if his wife wants to collect her ksuba, these are designated to pay for his wife's ksuba, and then the guy dies, and this metaltalin is still here, so she wants to go take this metaltalin, so can she collect such a metaltalin without having to take a shavua? Why is it that generally speaking, a woman is not allowed to collect from Nichsei Yisomim without a Shavua? Normally, if the husband dies and she wants to take from the Yisomim, she normally has to take a Shavua. Is because we're choshesh that Dilmat Srari Atvisa, that we're afraid that the husband maybe had given a bundle of money to her and had said, here, this is for you for your ksuba payment, and now she's going to go and she's going to collect the land as well. So she has to swear that there's no other hidden money that was given to her for her ksuba. But over here, maybe we shouldn't say the same thing. This is the Tzrari Atvisa that we're talking about, meaning he had designated this metaltalin, and we're aware of it. We know about the metaltalin that he had designated specifically to pay for a ksuba. So maybe she shouldn't have to take a shavua over here, because she's there's no concern that maybe there's some hidden money. Nothing's hidden. We know exactly the metaltalin that he had designated for the ksuba. So metaltli v'isnu be'enayu below shvua, that she could collect without a shvua. But what if lesnu be'enayu? What if that metaltalin is no longer around? It got lost. It's gone. So now can she still collect without a shvua? Because we know of the metaltalin that he had set aside, and therefore there's no chshash that there are other srariyat fasua, that there are other metaltalin that he may have given her? Or do we assume no? Now she's trying to collect from the nechasim of the yisomim, and she's not just taking the designated items that the husband had set aside, so maybe she should need a shvua. That's machlokas. Pumbedisa amri below shvua, b'nei masa mechasya amri b'shvua. Where the Pumbedisa said that she could take without a shvua, the b'nei masa mechasya, she needs to take a shvua. V'hilchasa below shvua. And we paskin that it's without a shvua. Machlokas number three, yichid la ara. Let's say he didn't designate metaltalin to pay for her for ksuba, but he designated land, and he identified the land by identifying all four borders of the land. And he said that that's going to be an apotiki, that if she ever wants to collect a ksuba, she can go to that land and collect a ksuba. And then the husband dies, so certainly that land, you don't have to worry about sariat fasinu in this case, because we know what he had designated to pay her ksuba, and it's the land that he had designated to pay the ksuba. So below shvua, she could take that without a shvua. It's unnecessary to take a shvua in that case. But what if bechad metzra, what if he only had identified the land by one of its borders, and he didn't identify all four of the borders. So maybe in that case we could assume that she's not really so reliant that she'll be able to collect her full ksuba from that land, and that's not really cool that he's miyachid her land. Because what does that mean? He only identifies one border. How much of the how far into the land does she get? How much can she actually collect for her ksuba? So maybe there's no smichas das over there. Maybe there's still chashash that sariat v'suah, that to make her happy and to give her something that's meaningful, that she knows has value, maybe he gave her a bundle of money or a bundle of metaltalin for ksuba. So do we assume that identifying land by only one of its borders is enough to take away the concern of tsariyat vesua and therefore allow her to collect without a shvua? Or are we still concerned of tsariyat vesua and she would need to take a shvua? That is again a machlokas between Pumbedisa and Masa Mechasya. B'chad metzra Pumbedisa amri below shvua, b'nei Masa Mechasya amri b'shvua. The b'nei Pumbedisa said she collect without a shvua, b'nei Masa Mechasya says she needs a shvua. V'hilchasa below shvua. The halach is you collect without a shvua. And the fourth and final machlokas. Omer le'edim. A guy says to Edim, kisvu v'chismu v'havalei. Go and write this and sign it, matana and karka, and go and give it. So kani milei, and in this instructions, he makes the edim make a kinyan on the shlichus. They're making a kinyan to fortify their shlichus. So once you do that, lo tzarichim luchibei. They don't have to check with him again to see if he still is serious about it. Once if he made a kinyan to show that he's serious about it, you don't have to go check again. Do you still want me to do this? Do you still want me to sell all that chametz? You sure you have all that schnapps you want me to sell you? No, we did a Kabbalah's kinyan. The Kabbalah's kinyan is a way of saying that I'm very serious about it. People always want, what's the whole thing? I'm picking up the pen. What am I picking up the pen? It's just a when we do this, our daf yomi coincidence. Today's a big mechiras chametz day. When you're picking up the pen, what you're showing is that you're doing a form of Kabbalah's kinyan. Why do I have to do a kinyan? I'm just making you a shliach. I'm not doing any kinyan. I'm not selling the rabbi my chametz. I'm making him a shliach to sell my chametz on Erev Yantif to John Brown. It has nothing to do. There's no kinyan going on over here. Why am I making a kinyan? No, sometimes we do a symbolic act of kinyan to show that there's a full gemiras das, that we're absolutely serious about this shlichus. And that's what's going on over here. Once the shlichus was made with a kinyan, it's just a shlichus. There's no actual kinyan that's being made on the spot. But once he makes a shlichus to make a kinyan, and they do a kinyan with that shlichus, then you know that it's a very serious shlichus, and you don't have to check up again, make sure that you're sure you want to sell all of that chametz, everything you own, the whole thing, you're sure you want to sell? I know that you want to sell it, because I know that you did a full gemiras das. But lo kanu minei, without a kinyan, do we still have to check back now? Maybe now you should have to go check back and see if he still wants to do it. It's a day later, maybe he changes his mind, maybe he's not so interested. Should I still go forward with the kinyan? Pumbadisa Amri lo tzarechem luchei bei, b'nei masu mechasi Amri tzarechem luchei bei. That's the fourth machlokas between Pumbadisa and b'nei masu mechasiya. V'hilchus tzarechem luchei bei. And the halacha is that you do need to go back and be manluch, you do need to go back and see what the person really wants. Then the Mishnah would say, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Mishnah quoted Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that even though the Tanakhama said that if a woman becomes an almana or a grusha after erisin or after nisun, it doesn't make a difference. She collects the whole ksuba, the ikar, and the tosefis and everything. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says no. If the marriage got to nisuin, then she collects everything. But if the marriage only made it to erisin and never got to nisuin, we assume the husband didn't really mean to give the tosefis for that kind of case. He only wanted to give the tosefis for if he was actually going to be able to marry her. So there's an umdina, it's an umdindas of the person that he probably never would have intended to give the tosefis if he would have known that he's never actually going to end up with this woman. So that's the sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Says the Gemara, Itmar, Rav Rabbi Nassan, Rav and Rabbi Nassan, chad amar halachak Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, v'chad amar ein halachak Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. One opinion says we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the other one says that we do not paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Meaning, do we rely on such an umdina that a person would never have done this had he known? So that's a machlokas. So testayim to Rabbi Nassan who damar halachak Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It's most logical to assume that Rabbi Nassan is the one that paskins like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Dishamina le Rabbi Nassan da'azel basar umdina. Because one thing we know about Rabbi Nassan is that Rabbi Nassan pays attention to an umdina. That if we could make an assessment that this was the das of the person, then we can rely on that assessment. We don't just go by what we know as 100% given as what happened, meaning what we know is that this guy wrote a ksuba and then he wrote a tosefes, so she should be able to collect the whole thing. No, we go with an umdina. We can assess that he probably didn't mean to give that tosefes if he's not going to be able to marry her. So we could follow an umdina. Where do we find that Rabbi Nassan says we go basar umdina? Dam Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan says two things. First of all, he says halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Shazuri b'mesukan, that we pass like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri by a mesukan. What's the case of a mesukan? So this is a sugya meseches gittin. A guy is going out on a journey somewhere on a caravan, and he says as he's leaving, kisvu get li ishti, but he forgot to say tenu. He never said give the get to my wife. He just said write a get for my wife as he's going on this long journey where he may or may never come back from the journey. So he says kisvu get li ishti, and he never said give it. So are the shluchim allowed to actually give the get to his wife on his behalf as well? So halach is hare elu yichtuvu v'yitnu, because we assume that people when they're traveling get very 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 distracted and they're not thinking clearly and they don't remember to say all the formalities and to finish off their sentences properly. So we assume that he really meant to say to give it. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer Afa Mesukan. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says it's not only someone who's going b'shayara, it's even someone who's a gose, someone who's holding by dying. And we assume that if he says kisvu, he means kisvu tenu. He's trying to save his wife from a situation of yibum. He's not messing around over here. He clearly wants the get to be given. So that's Rabbi Shimon Shazuri saying that we follow l'chora an umdina, that even though the guy never said tenu, there's an umdina that probably he meant tenu, that he meant that you should give the get to his wife. And the other thing that Rabbi Nassan quoted was that he passed on Rabbi Shimon Shazuri also b'trumas meiser shel demai, when it comes to trumas meiser of demai. The case is, if a person buys produce from an Am Haaretz, so we have the right to assume that an Am Haaretz was mafresh truma. Am Haaretz, that much they do, the mafresh truma. But now Maaretz is not Mafresh Meiser. Now part of the trick with Meiser is that when you give Meiser Rishon to a Levi, the Levi then has a responsibility to give Trumas Meiser from that Meiser. So you bought the Meiser from the Amaretz, you then gave Meiser because you're Choshesh, even though Rov Amaretz Ma'asrim Heim, you're Choshesh, that the Amaretz you bought from is maybe one of the significant minority of Amaretz who don't take Maestros. You give that to the Levi, then the Levi separates Trumas Meiser to give to the Kohen. And that Trumas Meiser has a full din of Truma. But now the Trumas Meiser gets mixed in with a whole bunch of Chulin. It accidentally got mixed together with a whole bunch of Chulin. So it should ask for the whole Taroves. You have, unless you have more than 200 times the chulin versus the truma, to the truma's meiser to be mivatel, it's going to ask for the entire taroves. So the halacha is that you're allowed to ask. Rav Shimon Shuzuri says you're allowed to ask the ama aretz whether he actually took truma's meisos, and if he says that he took meisos karaui before he sold it to you, then you can assume that that truma's meiser that got mixed in isn't really truma's meiser, because it wasn't really meiser rishon in the first place, because everything was already taken care of by the ama aretz. So that's what Rashi says that b'trumas meiser shel demai. Now the lashon of the Mishnah, Rashi quotes the whole Mishnah, trumas meiser shel demai shechazul lemakoma va'asra sachul mishum aduma. Rabbi Shimon Shuzuri Omer, af b'chol shawal ola ama aretz shalakech menor peros alalu. Even on a weekday, you could just ask the ama aretz whether he took the trumas meisos, the trumas and meisos, and you can rely on him that he did it. So Rashi says, well, what's the lashon of af b'chol, even on a weekday? What's the extra chiddush, even on a weekday? So Rashi writes, hay denakat af b'chol, mishum dekatani hasa milsa achriti. It's in context of the Mishnayos, in Demai, it makes sense to say af b'chol, because in the Mishnayos over there, it says that on Shabbos, you could always ask the Amma Aretz, and if he says he took maizos, he could eat it, because of oneg Shabbos. But then Motzai Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat it anymore, then it still goes back to a din of Demai. For oneg Shabbos, we're allowed to rely on Amei Aretz if they tell you explicitly that they took the maestros. That's what Rashi says. Tos says, no, it's true that you're allowed to rely on Amei Aretz when it comes to Shabbos, if you ask them on Shabbos, but it's not because of oneg Shabbos. It has nothing to do with oneg Shabbos. Tosus points out in the first skinny line over here, the time of the Rabbanan, lo mishum oneg Shabbos kidepirish bekunchus. It's not about oneg Shabbos like Rashi says. There's no such halacha that because of oneg Shabbos we're going to allow you to eat demai. Do we allow you to eat chazer because of oneg Shabbos? Do we allow you to eat chicken and milk? Only drabanan, chicken and milk, because of oneg Shabbos? No, we don't allow isurim just because of oneg Shabbos. That doesn't make sense, says Tosos. Elo mishum Amos Shabbos. He says, no, the real issue is that there's Amos Shabbos, that there's an assumed fear of Shabbos, that the Amei Aretz, just like they have Amos Shabbos ala Amma Aretz. The Amma Aretz know that Shabbos is Koveil Lemaiser, and they know that Shabbos is a very serious time, so they're afraid to do an Avera on Shabbos. It's a big discussion, Rishonim already, but really a lot of Nachronim, about whether an Avera done on Shabbos is worse than an Avera done during the week. Even if it's not an Avera of Chilul Shabbos, the times of Kedusha are more spiritually sensitive times, and therefore Averos done on Shabbos may be more significant and more severe than Averos done during the week. We certainly have such a concept that Rabban writes on the Torah when he talks about Mekomos of Kedusha, in Kedusha Samakom, that an Avera done in Eretz Yisrael is a bigger deal than an Avera done in Chutz Laaretz. So if a person is going to do Averos, he's worse off doing the Averos in Eretz Yisrael than he is doing in the Chutz Laaretz. So if that applies to Kedushas HaMakom, maybe the same should apply to Kedushas HaZman as well. That an Avera done on Shabbos, meaning the question is, the Amei Aretz have Amos Shabbos. Is that just because they're Amei Aretz and they don't know that an Avera is an Avera and they just don't know anything, they're ignorant? Or are they onto something? That there's Amos Shabbos, look, we don't like that they're Amei Aretz and that they're not careful about Shumas HaMaisos generally, but there is a reason that they're more careful on Shabbos. That Shabbos is a time that we have to be more matbid in the Halacha. When there's a Kedushas HaZman, you need to be more makbid also. Rav Nevinsal put out a Mishnah Berurah a number of years ago with his comments on the Mishnah Berurah, and he writes over there, the Mishnah Berurah talks about this idea of Kedushas HaMakom, that a mitzvah done, an avera done in a place that has greater Kedusha is a worse avera. Mishnah Berurah quotes such a concept, so Rav Nevinsal points out that l'chora the same is true with mitzvahs, that a mitzvah done in a place that has greater Kedusha is a greater mitzvah as well. And he even suggests that maybe it's Kedai. They said a few times that he traveled to Chutz Laaretz when I was in the Tivari this year. One of the Rebbeim was giving, Avi Merzel was giving a Mishra Berurah here right after davening, and he was saying over this from Nevinsal, and he said that he remembers when Nevinsal traveled to Chutz Laaretz and he put on tefillin on the plane when he was flying back, I guess, and to daven Shacharis, and then when he got to Eretz Yisrael, he put on tefillin again.
because the Dafke felt like he had to do the mitzvah again in Eretz Yisrael, that it's a different mitzvah when you do the mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael with greater Kedusha. So he said, if you have an option to daven in Rechavi in the morning, you could daven by the Kotel, so a place where you daven with greater Kedusha, or even anywhere else in the Old City versus the Kosel Maravi, it's a greater Kedusha. A mitzvah done in that place has a greater Kedusha. To the Ad Kidei Kach that he suggested that it's even Kedai to do the mitzvah again. I thought that was quite a chiddush to do the mitzvah again in order to, it's like an extra kiyum a mitzvah, like you're getting a new kiyum when you do it in a place with greater kedusha samakom. So the Gemara had said, but just get back to our context over here, we had said in the Mishnah, Rav Elazar ben Azariah says, how do we view the Tosefos Ksuba versus the Ikra Ksuba? Rav Elazar ben Azariah says that we have the right to assume that if the marriage never made it to Nisuin, he didn't mean to give the Tosefos Ksuba, only the Ikra Ksuba. So we see Rav Elazar ben Azariah follows Umdina, who's the one that, and we had a machlokes whether the Paschal Rav Elazar ben Azariah or not. So the Gemara said it must be that Rabbi Nassan is the one that holds like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, because here Rabbi Nassan follows an Umdina. Rabbi Nassan followed the Umdina when it comes to the Shchiv Mera, the Masukan, the guy who's dying, that we assume he intends to actually give the get to his wife, and potentially he follows an Umdina when it comes to Trumas Meisra as well. That's a question in the Rishonim over here. Is the second din also din of Umdina? This din of Demai, is there some din of Umdina over here as well? So that's some of the Mepharshim say that it is a din of Umdina, because he says that we don't, that the Yerushalmi says that the reason for Rabbi Shimon is by the Demai is just like Emas Shabbos ala Me'aretz, so to Emas Timua ala Me'aretz. That Me'aretz, we have an Umdina, that Me'aretz don't like Truma being mixed in with Chulin, and they're very afraid of that eventuality of Truma being mixed in with Chulin. So there's Emas Dimua ala Me'aretz. So it's an Umdina that because of that fear of Dimua, that the Amei Aretz are not going to be Meshaker. So they're both the din of Umdina, potentially. That's at least how Rabbeinu Kraskas and the Shidim Kupetzos explain that the second din is a din of Umdina. Pashtus is only the first din is a din of Umdina. I mean, the first din is definitely a din of Umdina, but that's how some of the Rishonim explain both of these dinim are din of Umdina. So says Gemara, V'Rav lo basal basar Umdina. Well, we wanted to say that Rav disagrees. Rav doesn't pass an Ublazim Nazariah. You mean tell me Rav doesn't follow an Umdina? V'itmar mat nashchiv mirasha kasa bakinyin. If a person is giving a matna shchiv mirah, now part of the idea of being a shchiv mirah is that we assume divrei shchiv mirah kiksuvin kumsurin dami. A person doesn't actually have to make a kinyan by divrei shchiv mirah. He could just say the words, and that affects a kinyan. So what if he actually makes a kinyan also? He uses the lashon of kinyan as well. So what's he doing over there? Is he trying to be mafkia himself from parshas shchiv mirah, where he shouldn't have the status of a shchiv mirah, because there's another halacha about a shchiv mirah. Shchiv mirah that gives something. Let's say he's giving away all of his possessions because he's shchiv mirah. He's dying anyway, and then miraculously has a refuah shleima. So can he backtrack on that kinyan? So the halacha is that if he's a shchiv mirah, if it's a b'torah shchiv mirah, he can back out of that kinyan. But if it's a matnas bari, if I'm a healthy person and I give something to somebody, I can't back out later on. So when he uses a lashon kinyan, is he trying to be mafkia himself from the parsha of shchiv mirah, or is he trying to say that or is he staying within the parsha of Shchiv Mirah? What's Lashon Kinyan doing? So Rav says that he's trying to hit both. He's trying to get the benefits of both a Shchiv Mirah and a Bari, and we'll see what that means in a second. Ushmol Amar Lo Yadana Ma'idun Ba. And Shmuel says, we just don't know what to do with such a guy. We don't know how to deal with such a case. So Bibei Rav Mishmei Rav Ami Akavei Trei Rachi Harei Kematnas Bari. That it has a din of a Matnas Bari V'Harei Kematnas Shchiv Mirah. And it has a din of a matnas shchiv mirah. How does it have a din of both? Harei kematnas bari dimamarein yachol achsabo. It's like a matnas bari. What he's trying to do when he uses the lashon of kinyan is he's trying to give this transaction the force of a matnas bari, to the extent the permanence of a matnas bari. That no matter what happens, he will never be able to be chozer. Just like a matnas bari, no matter what happens, a person is never able to be chozer. But also harei kematnas shchiv mirah. In a certain sense, it's like a matnas shchiv mirah. In the sense that Shem Amar halva asi leploni, halva aso leploni. That if he ever says that my halva'a is it goes to this person. If he writes in the Matana that this loan should be given to Ploni, so then it goes to Ploni. Whereas by a Bari, it's you can't be makna money in that way. Money is it can only be nikna agav karka, can't be nikna b'chalipin, matbea can't be nikna b'chalipin. So the force of a kinyan of a shchiv mirah that is the ability to be makna money to pay back a loan in such a way. So that's what he's doing when he uses when. And as a shchiv mirah, he uses a lashon of kinyan. He's trying to give it the strength of both. And that's an umdana, meaning we're saying that we're omedaita, we're trying to assess what he intends to do. So that's an umdana that we're making. Ushmuel amar lo yadana ma'idun ba. Shmuel says, no, I don't know what to do with this. Shema lo gamar laknasa l'bishtar vein shtar l'achar misa. Maybe when he's using a lashon of kinyan, is he wants it to be a real kinyan bishtar, And he's saying it as a shchiv mirah because he only wants it to be chal after he's dead. But you can't affect the shtar after you're dead already. So that maybe the whole thing falls apart, and it's not a super strong kinyan. Adrab, it's no kinyan at all, and maybe the whole thing doesn't work. So now what the Gemara is saying is, we thought originally that it's machlokas whether between Rav and Levi, whether you paskin like. I'm sorry, Rav and Rabbi Nassim, whether you paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we thought it was a machlokas, do you go basar umdana or not? But now we've just proven that both Rabbi Nassim and Rav go basar umdana. So how could it be that the machlokas, Rav and Rabbi Nassim, is whether you paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, is whether you go basar umdana or not? Says Gemara, okay, you're right. Tarvayu azli basar umdana. You have to say that both Rav and Rabbi Nassim go basar umdana, that we evaluate the situation based on what we assume the man's das is. So the one that passed on Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that's very consistent. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah makes an umdana that a guy would never want to give the Tosefes if his marriage never makes it to Nisuin. But Mandi Amar Ein Alacha, the one that says that we don't pass on Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, is also following an umdana. Hachanami umdun daitahu, mishum kruve daitahu, vali kruvele daita. He's assuming that when a person adds the Tosefes, it's because he's in love, and he loves his wife, and therefore he wants to give her, and he wants what's best for her, and he wants to be as generous as he possibly could ever be with her. And that's what he's doing, therefore. He wants to give the Tosefes, whether it ever makes it to Nisuin, or whether he never actually makes it to the Nisuin. Okay, but we'll stop there. But we'll pick up four lines in tomorrow.